This is GQDN for Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. Brought to you by Audible. Go get your free credit, audibletrial.com/groupcrest. By swiftenergy.gg. Go get the holiday mix. Oh, that does sound good. And go get your favorite mix of the drink mix for energy. And then go to the checkout line. Put the word quest in the promo code to get 25% off of your purchase. Good stuff, really good stuff. By patreon.com/thegroupquest and by stackup.org. In today's news, we have a game going to Switch. We got some Dungeons & Dragons news, basically Baldur's Gate 3. We have the reason why Rockstar employees are talking about GTA 6. But today, we begin with two really big stories. The first one comes from both Eurogamer and GamesRadar.com. Epic has won the antitrust trial against Google. Now, back in 2020, August, Epic went after both Apple and Google for the fees for the in-game payments on both the iOS and Android versions of Fortnite. Now the two platforms, after Epic made its own currency and they pulled away from the fees that both Apple and Google charged, well, both Apple and Google pulled the game from their phones. So Epic turned around and filed a lawsuit. Now, the case against Apple was settled by the judge back in 2021 in favor of Apple. That was 9 out of 10 counts. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals did upheld the ruling after the appeals of both parties. But Epic went after Google, and Google lost that fight. In fact, here's what Tim Sweeney did say on X. Quote, "Victory over Google. After 4 weeks of detailed court testimony, the California jury found against Google Play monopoly on all accounts. The court's work on remedies will start in January. Thanks for everyone's support and faith. Free Fortnite." Now, what Epic said on an official post was, quote, "Today's verdict is a win for all app developers and consumers around the world. It proves that Google's app store practices are illegal and their abuse, their monopoly to extract exorbitant fees, stifle competition, and reduce innovation." Now, Google's executive, Wilson White, did some talking there too, and they are planning to challenge the verdict. So here's what he said, quote, "Android and Google Play provide more choice and openness than any other major mobile platform. The trial made clear that we compete fiercely with Apple and its App Store, as well as app stores on Android devices and gaming consoles. We will continue to defend the Android business model and remain deeply committed to our users, partners, and the broader Android ecosystem." But that wasn't the only huge news today. Thanks to Gulben, we got this from both the Washington Post and Engadget. Oh, I'm sorry. I gotta get to this thing from Engadget, because Apple did say because of all this that happened with the lawsuits, the NFC restrictions may be lifted. Now that would affect all of the restrictions there in Europe, but we'll see what happens as far as what if you play video games on your phone. Now there's also a lawsuit that Apple's facing in the US, and that was brought in by the Iowa's Affinity Credit Union. So the U.S. District Court Judge Jeffrey S. White of California did state, quote, "Plaintiffs have plausibly alleged that Apple Pay charges arbitrary and inflated fees to issuers, and that competition in the Tap and Pay iOS mobile wallet market would spur innovation and lead to lower prices. So would one affect the other? We'll see. But like I said, we got some other huge news. And this is brought to us by WCCF Tech and by the Washington Post. E3 is dead. So here is what the Entertainment Software Association president and CEO, Stanley Pierre Lewis, did say, and I quote, "After more than two decades of hosting an event that had served as a central showcase for the U.S. and global video game industry, we know the entire industry, players, and creators alike have a lot of passion for E3. We share that passion. We know it's difficult to say goodbye to such a beloved event, but it's the right thing to do given the new opportunities our industry has to reach fans and partners." So, what happened? Well, before COVID hit, back in 2018, PlayStation decided to leave the event. And that is because they had an argument between them and, if memory serves me right, the ESA. So Sony left. Then slowly, so did everyone else, including Jeff Keighley, you know, the Game Awards. He left as well. And everything fell apart from there. Because then COVID hit, and you saw things like Nintendo Direct, PlayStation Showcase, Xbox videos, all of it. And all of that happened all over time. Now, speaking of PlayStation, they are investigating the Insomniac hack, which did leak the Wolverine files, along with all the employees' personal data. Now, Cyber Daily today did report that Reiseda did post a proof of hack document, which had details on Wolverine's game, which may come out in 2 years. And that came with some emails, files, and personal documents from the Insomniac employees. And one of the documents may have come from the voice, or Peter Parker voice actor, Yuri Lowenthal. Now, Reiseda did give Insomniac 7 days before it publishes everything it stole. But they also put the items up for auction with a starting of 50 bitcoins, just over $2 million. Now, Sony did talk to Eurogamer, and they said, quote, "We are aware of reports that Insomniac Games has been victim of cybersecurity attack. We're currently investigating the situation. We have no reason to believe that any other SIE or Sony divisions have been impacted. So we'll see what happens." But talking about leaks, Dot Esports did say that a former Rockstar employee did explain why GTA 6 isn't coming to PC, at least initially, because the PC version is not prioritized. Now, they were talking to Mike York, and he was an animator from Rockstar from 2012 to 2017. And he did have included the Grand Theft Auto 5 and Red Dead Redemption 2. He's now at Highwire Games, basically made the 6 Days in Fallujah studio. But he did put up a post on YouTube yesterday, and he was responding to the complaints about GTA 6 lack of PC support. Now, here's what he said in the video. Quote, "They want to prioritize what sells. Most of the time, especially in the past, PlayStation was the console to have. So what the developer would do is focus all of their energy on making sure the PlayStation port worked really good. Now, the PC port may have some different architecture." Further quote, "They're running it differently. They have different hardware in there. They have different kinds of CPUs and GPUs. The memory usage and the different things in the game is doing in the background can sometimes hit a fail and mess up during different configurations. They need to test the game more on PC than they would on Xbox or PlayStation." Now, will this still come to PC? Well, we shall see. Now, Games Radar was talking about the Day Before Studio and why it was changing its name. So the Day Before was attempting to scrub itself from Steam, and that was after a failed game of its, quote, survival MMO, end quote. Now, 4 days after the Day Before release, the Steam reviews, Fantastic, did announce that the game did fail financially, and they said that the studio would be closing down. So, here's what Big Fry did say about this on X. So, Fantastic is changing all their other games on Steam to different companies. Who is 8 Points? And why do they own The Wild 8? Some things going on, LOL. So, he showed two pictures, And he looked at developer, and he looked at history, which has changed developer fantastic to 8 points. And they changed some of the codes too. And some of the other games, they changed the developer from Mytona fantastic to just fantastic. So interesting. Now, the day before was also shut down. This comes to us from ESTNN, which is esports, but they were talking about the video game. And the day before was going to be one of the most anticipated games this year, but it was just shut down. And this is one of those other fantastic games. So they were getting really close to The Last of Us and the Tom Clancy's The Division. So they had some legal disputes on the game's title, and they had to remove it from Steam, the title from Steam, because Steam did delist it. Now, the game did finally show up earlier this year, but it was just a complete disaster. That's according to ESTNN. The skyline was quite similar to The Division, and they had maybe 4 to 5 zombie encounters per hour of the gameplay. In fact, Fantastic had to go up on X and provide a nice explanation. And because of the previous story, they said, quote, "Today we announced the closure of Fantastic Studio. Unfortunately, the day before has failed financially, and we lack the funds to continue. All income received is being used to pay off debts to our partners. We invested all of our efforts, resources, and man hours into the development of The Day Before, which was our first huge game. We really wanted to release new patches to reveal the full potential of the game, but unfortunately, we don't have the funding to continue the work. It's important to note that we didn't take any money from the public during the development of The Day Before. There were no pre-orders or crowdfunding campaigns. We worked tirelessly for 5 years, pouring our blood, sweat, and tears into the game. At the moment, of the future of The Day Before and Prop Night is unknown, but the servers will remain operational. We apologize if we didn't meet your expectations. We did everything within our power, but unfortunately, we miscalculated our capabilities creating games as an incredibly challenging endeavor. We're grateful to everyone who supported during these difficult years. It's been a fantastic journey over the past 8 years." And they talked about 2015 opening the studio. They released The Wild 8, Dead Dozen, Radiant 1, Prop Night, and The Day Before. But that's not the only bad news. We got a lot of bad news today. It's almost Christmas. Come on. But IGN did say that the makers of Baldur's Gate 3, I'm not talking about Dungeons & Dragons, I'm talking about Hasbro, has laid off 1,000 people. A lot of it has to go with the toys. But while they're makers of video games, it does have some concern to it. In fact, and that's according to the AP, Associated Press, Hasbro was looking to save up to $300 million annually by 2025. So the chief executive officer, Chris Cox, that's his name, did say that Hasbro, quote, "will focus on fewer, bigger brands, gaming, digital, and a rapidly growing direct-to-consumer and licensing business." Now, how will that affect Wizards of the Coast, makers of Dungeons & Dragons, and Larian, the makers of Baldur's Gate 3? Well, here's what Mr. Cox did say in an email. Quote, "We enter 2023 expecting a year of change, including significant updates to our leadership team, structure, and scope of operations. We anticipated the first 3 quarters to be challenging, particularly in toys, where the market is coming off historic pandemic-driven highs. While we have made some important progress across our organization, the headwinds we saw through the first 9 months of the year we've continued into holiday and are likely to persist in 2024. To position Hasbro for growth, we must make sure our foundation is solid and profitable. To do that, we need to modernize our organization and get even leaner. While we seek workforce reductions as a last resort, given the state of our business, it's a lever we must pull to keep Hasbro healthy. I know this news is especially difficult during the holiday season. We value each of our team members. They aren't just employees, they're friends and colleagues. We decided to communicate now so people have time to plan and process the changes. For those employees affected, we are offering comprehensive packages, including job placement and support to assist their transition." Now, this layoff will be completed within the next 18 to 24 months, year and a half to 2 years. We need some good news. So let's go to the esports corner, because Team Vitality was talking to Ben and Jerry's. Yummy stuff. So the French esports team, Team Vitality, did join forces with Unilever ice cream brands, Ben and Jerry, and they are called the Frozen All-Stars. That's a fan event that will have some show matches involving Rocket League. So what's going to take place in 3 days, the Frozen All-Stars will see Team Vitality's Rocket League team along with the matches, and that'll be decided through the social media posts. The final match is the event that will see Team Vitality play against international players in attendance. Now, Magnum is not a stranger to esports, because in September 2021, the ice cream brand did partner with Blast Premier, and the brand did also have a deal with LVP, Superliga League of Legends. So here's what Nicholas Mauer, the CEO of Team Vitality, did say, quote, "The Frozen All-Stars is a brilliant example of Team Vitality's commitment to creating thrilling events focused on putting its fans at the forefront of esports entertainment. With the help of Ben & Jerry's and Magnum, this event showcases in the incredible talent Team Vitality's current RLCS World Championships and Rocket League's All-Star Legends, and unites its players and fans through the shared enjoyment of epic plays and frozen desserts, fostering inclusion within the company." Nummy, nummy. We did talk about Wolverine, but there's also pictures about Wolverine too. That was all part of the attack. Oh, Nintendo Everything did say that Itrotra, if I got that right, is getting a physical release on Switch, and that'll be in the second quarter next year. Now, it will have a standalone, sold standalone, and a deluxe edition. The standard edition will be everywhere, but the deluxe edition will be exclusive to the Red Art Games online store. And that does include the copy of the game, a sleeve, and some executive art book. Now, the game did show up on Switch as a digital download this past April. So if you want the physical one, it'll come out here in a few months. I do like ending on a good note. We try. This has been a Dawn Forge production 2023. All rights are reserved. Go play some games, people.